Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 3 of JaPale Your Bestie podcast. I appreciate you for showing up and sharing this space with me, and I hope that we get to share some hot tea today. As you all know, before we get started, we start off with an herbal tea. Today, we're keeping it pretty simple. We are going to be using just pure hibiscus flowers, and we're going to use it and sweeten it up with some honey. But before we get started with that, I would love to introduce my guest today, Anna.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. I always talk about like women inspiring others or supporting each other, you know what I mean? So I'm just glad to have you in this space and to have you around again. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Likewise.
And to also highlight your business. So just thank you for sharing this space with me. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and also tell us about your business and the services that you provide.
Okay, thank you for the introduction. my name is Anna Spangler. I am a licensed massage therapist and certified manual lymphatic drainage therapist. My business name is Vital Spark, so I provide massage therapy, lymphatic care, and I recently started doing like body sculpting and body aesthetic services, so like spot treating fat, smoothing out cellulite, things like that, and it's been a really, really exciting and challenging new chapter of my business.
Yes, and so I love massages, so I'll definitely be like booking some type of service with you for sure, because that's part of self-care.
Yes, it is. It's very important. You only have one body.
You have to maintain that shit. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and just pour us some of this amazing hibiscus tea. So we're gonna use some local honey, 100% raw. Got this over at the farmer's market. And I wish you would have brought the tea that you were, you said you were gonna bring. Next time, if I have you on, you can definitely bring your own tea. We love all the teas.
I am a big tea enthusiast. Really? I wish it wasn't like, it's just not practical for me to do like loose teas in my office, just like the clean, like I don't have, you know, like a kitchen. So the tea bags are just so much easier, but I do definitely prefer like loose leaf.
And so do you offer the teas to your clients?
Yeah, I think it's just a courtesy to have some options available besides water. So I've got a really nice like mint lavender herbal, which is a great like relaxing tea. Mm-hmm. And then I have, actually, I think it's a hibiscus green tea. That's all, it's pretty sweet. And
okay. Yeah. Do you have like, because I'm sure, like you said, you don't have a kitchen, you have like a space that you have set up. Do you have like one of those Keurig things, or like have you?
I just have like a water cooler thing that has a hot water.
Oh, okay.
I've got room temperature water and hot water, and I do have a little mini fridge. I used to keep LaCroix in there, but no one ever wanted it. Like fizzy drinks, seltzer waters.
Oh.
So I don't get those anymore, and I just like have a fridge in there that's empty. I might play with doing some like iced teas or like flavor, like water with cucumber or something. Oh,
that
in the
would
summer,
be nice, like in a pitcher.
Yeah,
that would be nice and refreshing. I love cucumber in water.
But I'm ready. I've been eyeing it.
All right, so let's try the tea.
Want to give you a toast?
Yes.
Congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on your business, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Nice sour.
It's a little tart, but it's got a nice flavor.
It does have a nice flavor.
Hmm. Hibiscus tea, everybody. It's really good.
It is nice and summery for this like spring day.
And it's good warm, and like, because this is kind of like room temperature.
Yeah.
So like even over ice.
Yeah,
right?
It would be really good ice.
Oh, this is really good. Mm. All right, so let's get into some tea. So, again, about your business.
Oh, no, where are we? What's going on here?
So, let's get into some tea, though. So, I would clearly like to, like, highlight your business, but I also would love to know what you would want us to know about your business and, like, what struggles have you
I mean, no, seriously, like, being an entrepreneur, there are so many ups and downs.
You know, it's not as fun as it looks.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
You know, it's not for the weak. It just isn't. And it takes a lot of consistency and patience and all of the things. Like, I have gone through all of the motions, like wanting to give up, or, you know what I mean? Like, not wanting to push forward and move forward. And there's those moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy that I'm doing this. I'm so happy that,
totally.
You know what I mean? So, like, share your experience with us as an entrepreneur in your business.
Well, like you said, just so many ups and downs. There are weeks where I'm like so busy. I feel like, okay, things are finally consistent now. I get a little bit manic. I like, you know, spending the money that I'm making. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's a lull, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, where is everybody? Is it the economy? Is it me? Maybe I need to do more training. And it's, yeah, just the highs and lows are really intense. And I had my own massage practice for years and had a steady clientele and was some consistency, but just wanting to take that next step or, like, you know, offering these higher value services, I made some pretty significant investments on equipment and training. That I didn't realize was such a risk. I was like, oh, all my massage clients are gonna love this stuff, but just learn. I learned pretty quickly it's in a completely different target market. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not interested and want nothing to do with body aesthetics.
Yes.
So, right. I would never want to offend them by like suggesting it or marketing to them. So yeah, probably within 6 months of this venture, I realized I pretty much just had to start over with, like, who I'm marketing to and how I'm presenting myself. So it's definitely been a journey with lots of ups and downs. I imagine it will take maybe another year before I'm, like, really consistently booked. Just on, like, with the track I'm on now, where I'm, like, things are, like, 10 times busier and more consistent than where I was last year.
Really?
So if I stay on this trajectory, I'm like definitely confident and like my skills are getting better. I'm getting a lot better at just like communicating and determining like who's a good candidate for which type of treatments, and my results are getting a lot better. I'm connecting more authentically with my clients, which I feel like is so important. So yeah, I'm like very, very excited.
Well, I can see
about
the difference in your content.
I love
seeing the content girlies. Like when you can notice, like, oh my gosh, she's in her content bag. You know, like she's trying
know.
To like. I know, like we all start somewhere. I'm just saying, like, yeah. I just want to give you your flowers. Like I noticed
Thank
that
you.
Like, the consistency.
I really appreciate
too.
It.
Yeah, you're inspiring with like the consistency of you know your business. And like,
you.
I remember, you know, like seeing you marketing your therapy or being a massage therapist, and I didn't even know that you even offered that. But because like, so Anna has worked for me before in the past, so like we've done some work together. I never knew that she was like a massage therapist.
Side gigs in the past, yeah.
So that's like nice. I just love to see women who can pivot in, you know, different areas and also succeed in those areas. So I do want to ask you, so like how long have you been a massage therapist and how long did you have to go to school for it?
I actually went to massage school right out of high school.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough to kind of know, I mean, not that anything's wrong with taking that traditional route of college, but I knew my senior year of high school and all my friends were like applying to colleges and like getting excited about college. I was like, that sounds terrible. Like, I was like, I do not want to live in a dorm. Like, and I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I know now that I have ADHD, but at that time it was like sitting still in a classroom was like torture for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to like be able to start working sooner and do something that was like really hands-on. So I convinced my parents to let me go to massage school. I did a year-long program here in Portland, 800 hours. And I worked at a spa for a couple years and then building my business like really, really slowly. Like I started just renting another massage therapist's office one day a week.
Okay.
So I would see maybe like one or two of my own clients a week alongside my like job.
Okay.
And then eventually expanded to 2 days a week. And then eventually, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years in, I was renting two spaces. So I was at one space 2 days a week, and another space 2 days a week.
Nice.
And then still picking up side gigs. I was doing a lot of out calls. I'd pick up like short-term or part-time work at like chiropractic. So like, I'm just like working everywhere and learning as much as I could and connecting with all different types of clients.
Do you feel like, because you say you like the out call,
that means you like pull up to the client's home.
Yeah, so I would do massages like on site in people's houses.
I love that. Actually, the massage girl that I see regularly, she comes to my house.
Okay, that's and cool that you like someone that does
that. Yeah, she does that. I never even knew that that was even a thing until like she offered it, and I met her at a chiropractic office.
Yeah.
And so when she offered, I was like, oh,
like, yeah, and it also, has its pros and cons as like it's a lot of extra work.
I was
like,
gonna say, yeah, because it's taxing on your body, like having to tub all this stuff around.
But it's great for massage therapists like just starting their own business that might not have the funds like rent an office space or get all the equipment for everything and a space to be able to travel to people's.
Well, also, I feel like you could upcharge with doing
that. Oh, yeah, you charge a travel fee. It's definitely like an exclusive special service.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I also like want to touch on where you said like you didn't want to go to college, you know, all of your friends are like applying for colleges and going to dorms and shit like that, you know. And I try to express that to my son because my son is a junior in high school.
Oh wow. And so like at that time
and he's like college, I'm like, dude, like I get college, but like I also want you to explore other avenues. Like mommy's an entrepreneur, like you can do it too. Like just figure out what it is that you really really want to do in life. You don't have to go to college. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
or you can explore and come back later. Like, I still sometimes, I'm like, maybe I should go back to school. Like, I love learning, and when I'm really passionate about something, I want to die. Like, I want to know everything about it. So, I've definitely, you can always go back, but I'm going to get on a soapbox about, like, how so many of my friends went to college and ended up doing something totally different than what they studied because they're so young, and I mean, they have all this debt. They have all the student loans.
All that debt.
So I'm really grateful that I didn't go that route. I mean, sometimes I wish I had that, like, college experience, but, like, it was not for me.
Yeah.
So
it's not for everybody. So I love to hear that, and I know you don't have any kids, but I just wish that more parents would talk to their children about like not having to go to college.
My parents were the same. They were really pressured. They were fully, the expectation was to go to college.
Really?
Yeah, so I definitely went against the grain there.
Yeah, well, that's good, because like now look at you, you know what I mean? Just you're able to make your own schedule. You know what I mean? Even though there's ups and downs in entrepreneurship, you're doing well now. You have like steady, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's good. I think that we should also all start highlighting, you know, and exposing our younger generation to that aspect of becoming an adult. Not always like going to freaking college and getting a fucking degree. But like,
and there's merit to that. I think if, you know, you're 18 and you really know what you want to do and that's your path, good for you. That's awesome. But for a lot of us, I think that pressure is not helpful.
No, seriously. So outside of massage therapy, like you offer other services. So we were talking about the
lymphatic drainage and lymphatic massage. Like there's a lot of buzzwords around lymphatic care right now. I try to use all of them so that people can understand what it is. Yeah.
And so what I connect to that is like plastic surgery, because like I want to have some plastic surgery. And so like I know I've heard
about
it. I'm planning on getting some plastic surgery. That's another some TZ. Anyway, but that's when I started like being exposed to like that type of massage or whatever. Like when after your or during your healing journey,
the post-op
massages or whatever. So. What has been your experience with that part of your industry or service?
How do I say this and not go on for like 5 hours? So when I started doing the body sculpting, I learned that the treatments I use the lymphatic system to flush the fat cells I kill out of the body. And I was like, I don't really know that much about the lymphatic system. So I did a bunch of lymphatic trainings just to have a better understanding. And it's a whole nother world. And the training I did it was just like the basic manual lymphatic drainage certification. Also certified me in post-op care. Okay. So again, it's just a whole nother world. A whole nother industry.
Yeah.
Totally different type of client.
And how long was the training for that though?
It was 45 hours, so it was 5 full days, and then, so it was, like, medically accredited and pretty, it was an intense 5 days, but it wasn't, like, a full, like, school.
And so do you offer anything else, like, outside of that and the massage therapy, or is it just the massage therapy and the lymphatic
manual lymphatic drainage.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's working with the household. Yeah, so then I, on top of that, I have some devices for
I saw that. I'm like, what is reduction. That?
Yeah.
Pretty intense.
They are, yeah. They're a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything expensive? About, like...
Sorry.
Yeah. They were pretty expensive. Big investments.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get basic body sculpting machines actually really, really cheap, like a few $100s. And people are starting to get them to just do their own, like cavitation and radio frequency, stuff like that.
Okay.
But for me and my business, like I really wanted like the best of the best. So I did a lot of research. I did consultations with a ton of different like salespeople and distributors that sell these devices and trainings and things like that. So I really wanted to like feel good about what I was doing to people, and yeah, but you can buy like a body sculpting machine like pretty affordably with like no training and no requirements, and like start your body sculpting business, which is pretty scary.
I was gonna say that's actually kind of scary.
It's like, totally unregulated right now in almost every state. That's like not you cool. don't need any like medical prerequisites at all to like become a body sculptor, but I think that's gonna be changing.
I hope so. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody doing anything to my body or being able to say, hey, I offer this service when they're not really completely and wholeheartedly trained in this area. You know what I mean? So, wow.
That's one of the reasons why I really was inspired to do it, is I was looking up cellular treatments for myself, and then I was like, saw all of these different things, and I was like, maybe I could like do, like, what do you have to do to be able to like offer these services? Yeah. And it turns out there's like no rules right now. In Oregon, I think technically you have to have like a license to touch.
Okay.
But that's like a pretty big
gray
area.
I was gonna say, that's insane.
But I think eventually, like, they're gonna require you to be either an esthetician, a massage therapist, or a nurse or something. Even, like, I don't know if down the road they're gonna require you to be a doctor, and if I'm gonna have to, you know, go to medical school or get a medical practitioner on my team.
Well, it doesn't come, like, to that extensive of a, like, having to have a credibility of that, like, being a doctor or whatever. But, like, I do feel like you have, like, you should be...
Something like anatomy training, I feel like, is pretty important.
I was looking to, like, increase my services in my business, because, you know, I do, like, spiritual baths, experience, and all of that, like, self-care workshops. And part of the spiritual bath spa service is that I give a foot rub at the end of the bath spa. Or whatever, and I'm looking into like things like legally, can I do this? Can I do that?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just
a lot of people don't
foot rub,
they just start doing it. Yeah,
so like they said that I needed to have like a license, like an esthetician or whatever license, because I was going to be like applying foot scrub and like massaging the feet, and I would have had to have that license. So like to hear you say, in order to like use these devices and stuff on people, there's like nothing really being regulated. That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, because it's like pretty dangerous. Like you can't really hurt people with these devices.
That's crazy.
But that is, it is gray area with massage, like offering foot rubs, as long as you're not, don't quote me on this. This is not legal. As long as you're not like selling just massage, you're allowed to like add on a shoulder rub or a foot rub or something to other services, as long as it's clear that like it's not healthcare.
Right. Well, I saw.
There's kind of a loophole. Like, you know, when you get your nails done, they do a massage.
Right.
And they're not like, maybe some of them are massage.
Well, what I read from my understanding, maybe I'll do some more research on it. But from what I read is like, if you're offering this service in your home and not like in an actual like commercial
facility,
then you would be fine. But also like, it's just a fucking foot rub. I'm not like doing the whole body. You're like,
I mean, I think the reason for that is with a license and with all the extra training is you would be able to recognize if it was not safe for somebody to get a foot rub. Like for example, like if someone's ankle was really swollen, that's a symptom of DBT, and massage could literally move that blood clot into their heart and kill them. So that's where, like, and your average person might not know that or recognize that. You'd be like, oh, you've got a little swelling here, let me massage that out. And, you know, that could be really, really potentially harmful. So that it's like a one in a million chance that one of your clients would have some kind of like health condition where foot massage would be dangerous. But there is, you know, that's what these laws are in place for. And so I can see the justification in that.
Exactly. So I also wanted to ask you, what made you or what inspired you to want to go to massage or become a massage therapist straight out of high school?
I thought it would be easy. I was like, oh, they make a lot of money. Like at that time, yeah. It was 2008, and massage was like $50 or $60. I was like, $50 or $60 an hour. Like that sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And the massage pool is not easy. It's like a lot of anatomy and a lot of hands-on. Like ethic. Like it's a lot. So that was a little bit of a rude awakening, but I also ended up really loving it and being super happy that I did it. I love working with my hands, and I love making people feel good.
Yes.
Like massage is something like people look forward to. They're excited to see you. They leave feeling better. Like I'd say probably as a massage therapist, everywhere I've worked, my client interactions have been probably like 99% really positive. And you can't say that about every industry.
Like, yeah.
I feel bad about people that like work at the DMV and so I'm like, are like grumpy people all the time? So I'm really lucky in the sense that I'm like a good part of somebody's day. And I really like that. I think I like people. I like helping people feel good and feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good. What else do we want to talk about? So I think we're talking about like difficult clients. Or did we say something about like you have like clients who like, how do you, how are those conversations, how do you navigate that? I think we were talking about this a little earlier, we were walking up here. When a client wants a specific thing from you and you don't even offer that, or you have a certain way of how you give your services. And
yeah.
Like, and you end up with like an unhappy client or a person that, you know.
It's very, very hard, especially for me as a people pleaser. Having an unhappy client is really, like, it affects me for a long time, and I'm working on that. Like, not everybody's gonna like me or the work that I do, and that's something that I've accepted and I'm mostly fine with, but it is hard. The best thing I can do is just learn from those experiences. When I get feedback, like I got my first ever 1-star review a few months ago, and that destroyed. Like I was like down bad.
Really?
Like I was like, oh my gosh, and it was crazy. I mean, it's on. I don't want to like give her personal information or anything, but she was like so nice and seemed so happy. Like I had no idea
that she even felt
that she didn't like it.
Wow.
Until a week later when I got the review, and the review was so mean.
It was so mean.
But she was expecting something different than what I provided, and that, honestly, like it took me a while to accept that that's on me. Like I did not give her a thorough like briefing about what I do. I asked her if she had had this type of treatment before, and she said yes, and so I thought she knew what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different practitioners offering these types of services and marketing them in different ways.
Right.
So she had a completely different expectation. So now I always check, like 5 or 10 minutes in, I really do my best to check in with my clients. Like, how's this feeling? Like, do you want to do something else? Like, are you enjoying it? I let people know, like, a lot of people want to try manual lymphatic drainage and some of the other things, and that, but it's so different than a regular massage. So I say, if you want to do something else, we can totally do something else.
Right.
Or you can, like, I won't charge you if, like, you just don't think we're a good fit. So it was, as hard as it was a really, really valuable learning experience. I also, like, totally gutted my website and, like, made sure, like, really laid everything out. Like, this is what I do. This is not what I do. There are other people that do this. That's fine. You can find them, like, this is my offering.
Oh, that's so great.
Like, I'm sure it'll still happen. Like, there will be people
right.
that come get work from me and not like it, but I'm really trying to, like, prevent that with being just really direct and communicating both before the service and during the service.
Yeah,
sure,
I'm glad that
satisfied.
That did happen, because you have that experience, so, like, you already learned, and so, like, now you've pivoted from that, and you're, like, making sure that you check in and like making sure that you're giving better service.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about. And I love that that was one of the reasons why you wanted to even become a massage therapist. It's just like creating experience and like making someone feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's hard. I feel like so much of my validation in my work is rooted in like making people happy and making people feel good. So then to hear that somebody's really disappointed, it's like,
and
that
the fact
is
that the
really
bitch
hard.
Was like, didn't even express that before she
I wasn't gonna use that word, but I was really
sorry.
Shocked. It was really hard.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, I, you know, I'm sorry. I just really don't like those kind of people who do that, like, bad reviews.
I just really wish she had reached out to me directly, because I would have happily refunded her or offered her a free service, or, like, been like, you know what, let's try a different service. Like, I'd be happy to give you a different type of service.
Give me the opportunity to make it right.
So it was very frustrating, and I want, like, as much as I want to blame her, like, I did eventually, like, accept that responsibility. Like, I could have done a better job of, like, making sure she knew what to expect and making sure she knew what she was getting before she came in, like having clearer outline services listed on my booking platform.
Yeah.
So it was a good learning experience, but that was like one of the worst weeks in my life.
Well, that's what entrepreneurship is all about, is just literally learning as you go, you know what I mean? And taking the experience and evolving and just learning and becoming better from it. Like, I have so many fucking stories of just, like, learning, like, or having to, like, work with people and deal with people and, like, just learning from it. Like, I've had some just crazy fucking experience, especially being, having to deal with employees. You know what I mean? So it's, like, one thing to deal with customers, you know what I mean? But to have to deal with, like, employees just taught me so much about, having clear communication, like you said, and just, man, it's just, it's crazy having to deal. Some people out here are just fucking crazy, just like we were saying, like, that lady, whoever gave that bad review, like, she could have at least just said, hey, like, I didn't like this part, or whatever.
Yeah.
To give you a chance to write the wrong.
In her defense, it was very different than the type of treatments that she had had previously. So when she booked with me, she was expecting what she's had before. So my work being different, I can totally respect how that would be disappointing and frustrating, but I do wish she would have, like, communicated.
I was gonna say, not to the point
to
where
instead of, like,
I can only imagine because I've experienced you, like, you didn't give her just, like, a trashy, shitty ass experience.
No, I gave her the best service that I could have.
And you're very nice and polite,
professional. Like, what I do.
So for her to go on and give a bad review, shame on you, whoever you are. Shame on you. Because I've had some shitty experiences as a customer on that end, and I've never, like, gone out of my way to just, like, go and give a bad review, unless it's, like, something really, really, really terrible.
Right.
I just won't go back.
Well, I think a one-star review would be valid if I, like, injured her, or if I, like, you know, in massage therapy, there's, like, some sexual harassment, like, stuff like that. Like, she was not in danger, like, my space was not dirty, like, there wasn't anything to, like, warn people about.
Right.
In that sense, like, I feel like a one-star review is, like, pretty brutal for just being
it is
disappointed.
Brutal.
Like, 3 or 4, fine, like, I'll accept it
oh
if
my
I
God.
Just, like, didn't get what you wanted, but a one star is like if somebody like scammed you or
and that's she gave you a one star.
She did, yeah.
What but like the word like the did she like the I can't even talk. The review in itself, like what she said, was it brutal? Like was it mean?
It was mean. I mean
it
she
mean?
Did she said I was very sweet but didn't know what I was doing. She said that she felt like she was scammed and she would have had a better treatment if
scammed?
I had just prayed over her because the manual lymphatic drainage I do is very, very gentle. There's different types of lymphatic work, but the medical manual lymphatic drainage is like you're just stretching the skin to give more space for the lymphatic fluid to move. On social media, and I do other types of lymphatic. Like I tell my clients now, all massage is lymphatic massage, as long as you don't have any missing lymph nodes or any incisions or anything blocking that natural lymphatic pathway. Pressure from the massage is also going to put pressure on the lymphatic vessels and move that fluid. But if there's existing inflammation or there's reasons why people seek out manual lymphatic drainage
right.
because it's so gentle and there's no risk of causing any harm or any additional inflammation or bringing more blood flow to that area like we do with massage. So the really, really gentle is like the medical clinical approach to lymphatic care. So I've gotten way better at explaining that to clients before we start treatment so they understand and so that we're communicating. But when people have had a manual lymphatic drainage massage, it's like really aggressive.
Yeah.
And then they get work from me and it's like, like what are you doing? Like you're barely touching me.
Yeah.
I totally respect why they would be like, what are you doing?
What is this? Yeah. Well, like I've seen stuff on, we were talking about like people get this like post-op massages or whatever. And I've seen on social media
media, like, or you're like grabbing the, and there's like fluid coming out of like the incisions and stuff.
I'm that's a tough thing. Like, massage therapists, we are not allowed to touch like bodily fluids like that. Like, that's like a nurse, doctor, that's totally out of our scope of practice. But there are massage therapists that are doing that. There's like post-op is its whole, like, that should honestly be like a four-year college program that I would totally do, because it's fascinating work. I love it. It's so gratifying, like, seeing people's healing journeys to go from like being like totally like they got hit by a truck, like the first few days after surgery you're like, what did I do, because you're like so swollen, bruised, oozing. And then, you know, within a few weeks, you're, like, starting to see your results, and it's, like, an incredible journey and transformation. So I do love the work, but with all of these different approaches to post-op care, it's really, really hard to navigate, and I feel like I've done, like, the best, highest credentialed trainings that I can find, and I want to do more and more and more, like, every, like, person that I see that's like successful in this industry, I'm like, what training did you do? Like, I want to get better and better. Like, I want my clients to be like so happy, and I want to take the best, safest care. It's a very vulnerable time. Like, getting good care is really, really important.
Are you planning? Are you to like get more training?
Oh yeah, yes. The training will never stop.
Okay.
Especially like surgery is forever evolving. Like, there's all these new techniques. Like, I follow so many plastic surgeons on social media. I'm in all these different subreddits about plastic surgery. There's so many different techniques, and it's gonna like, so then the post-care also, we also need to be continuing to educate ourselves and learning like all about, you know, where these symptoms are going to be and like how long the drains are staying in and stuff like that. So the training will never stop, but like this first, I've been doing post-op care for about a year, and it's been like the biggest roller coaster of like the most amazing clients and experiences and transformations, but also these people that expect something like so different from
what you
are. I do, and then feeling like I didn't do a good job. Yeah. So just, I just want to learn as much as possible. And,
well, I think that you're doing a good job. I mean, only one bad review over this course of time.
I've had two bad reviews.
Two?
Yeah, that one didn't sting as badly, because I do feel like we just had a more of a personality clash. I
won't, really?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to get into
It's okay.
I smoothed that one out. Like, we talked a lot. She ended up changing it to 3 stars. And that again, just gave me an opportunity to, I require consultations before I start care, just so I can be really, really clear about what their expectations are. Yeah. I don't want anybody coming to see me for care and then feeling like I didn't do a good job. So
yeah, I think that's still good. Like, only 2 like bad reviews, and I can only imagine, like, you see a lot of people.
I do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, I wish the clients that loved me would write good reviews. I'm not good at asking for it. I don't like to like put pressure on people.
I was
like,
just writing a review.
So I have a little sign in my office. Yeah, it's, I don't like to put people on the spot, but it would, it makes a huge difference. If you're watching this and you visit any small businesses, like, writing good reviews makes a world of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that it would be, like, a bad thing to ask, or to, like, kind of find a way that's comfortable with you to kind of just like throw that out there.
Yeah,
especially if somebody is expressing that they had a really good experience with you, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think you could find like a comfortable way to throw it out there. Like, oh, do you mind giving me a review?
Yeah,
you're sweet.
Online booking system, like, it automatically sends people an email the next day. Like, if you liked your experience, like, give me a review. But I feel like, I need to grow the balls to just like ask people face to face.
Well, and also because, I mean, you're giving a good service. I can only imagine. You're so sweet, Anna.
Thank you.
You deserve a goddamn review. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Seriously. So, I would like to ask you, for all of the women or you just entrepreneurs in general out there, is there any advice that you would like to give anybody? Or like, what would you say about your experience just being an entrepreneur?
I feel like I was so naive when I like really like took the leap and went out on my own. So I think the advice I would give is just like accept that it's going to be really, really hard and like learn to embrace how hard it is. I feel like last year I was joking that I was in my like top ramen era, because like all my money was going into the business and it was hard because, you know, before that I was able to afford, like I didn't have to think about what I was buying in the grocery store and like I was just, you know, had pretty consistent income, but then making like these big investments and using lines of credit and like kind of leveraging my debt, I think I did a good job with that, but it still put me personally in a pretty financially vulnerable situation. And that was hard. So I think like entrepreneurs, you know, like I do it too. Like we make it look pretty glamorous on social media. Like it's my business and it is not like that. Like it's hard work. I hate running, but last fall it was like my business, I was like really struggling. I was like, I just need to prove to myself that I can do hard things. So I just started, like I woke up 6 a.m. and just like ran just to like train my body to be like in go mode. Mm-hmm. Like I can do that. Like I've done hard things before and I can do this and I can get through this rough patch. And yeah, so I think that's the biggest thing for people to know is like, if there is no fast, easy money. There's no fast way to get rich. Like no, if you, not. Like there's so many scams and people kind of marketing that, like just do this course and you'll be rich. And that's just, that's not real.
No, it's not real. It's not. And so I just thank you for coming here and sharing your business with us and part of your journey with us. And I would love to have you back on.
Yeah. And I would love to give you a treatment.
So you should totally come. No, I would love that. Yeah. And that's part of that goddamn self-care that I'll be talking about. I would love to have a treatment with you. But let's cheers.
Cheers.
To you coming on and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so
much. My first ever podcast.
And also, where can we find you and your business, though?
My Instagram is VitalSparkPDX, and my website is VitalSparkPDX.com.
So you guys better go book some services and treatments with Anna. She's so sweet.
I brought you some goodies. This is a thank you for
having
me.
See what I mean? She's so sweet.
First I don't know if it was custom to bring your podcast host a gift, but
yes, thank you so much. I love
the right thing to do.
Anybody out there,
loves presents.
Yes. Anybody out there looking to come on the show? Yes. Brilliant. I will open this later, but thank you so much for
You're
coming.
So welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 4 with Anna of Vital Spark Massage Therapy. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you go check us out on YouTube and also on Instagram, Japel Your Bestie Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you later.
Oh my god.
Good job. Good job to both of us.
I feel like I was so rambly.
SC Trill, man, you already know the deal, huh? All this distance in between us makes the love grow. When it's real, it never fades, because that's how love.